and bomb shelter. Jake the Snake has a bad dog to curse, so if it's real or fake. Golden Greek told us the giant coon, Dick Hall, El Toro, the Grunt Brothers too. The Wild Samoans got something crazy going. They're gonna be going after you.
All right. And welcome to the Movie Marks Podcast from the This Is Happening Network, Podcast Network. I am your host, Diego Santos, and today's special guest is one of the stars of Dead Road and previous other podcasts with me, Mr. Rich Ruperto.
Hi, thanks, Diego. Thanks for having me here once again. What are we going to discuss today?
We're discussing your pick of a film for Movie Marks, which is once again about movies involving wrestling, pro wrestlers, or somehow one or two degrees separation from the world of professional wrestling. And he chose Grunt. It's a movie I only heard of because I was like, Dick the Bruiser was in it. But other than that, Dick Murdoch also too.
Dick Murdoch, both, and Dick the Bruiser.
Both dicks, yeah.
A lot of dicks in there.
Yeah. Who play the Grunt brothers. So that's my only experience that was hearing that Dick Murdoch was in this. So I watched this last night. I watched this twice. One's drunk as fuck and one's sober, and I can't tell the difference.
That's a good thing. When I first saw Grunt the Wrestling Movie, I'm going to go back to the Wayback Machine here. I actually first saw this at the old Hoboken Cinemas. For anybody who's from Hoboken, New Jersey, remembering the old Hoboken Cinemas that was on Hudson Street. I don't remember the actual block. Maybe First and Hudson.
First or Second.
First or Second. They would do like two movies like in the mornings. Like, it would either be kung fu movies or just some regular trashy movie. Then at night, they would show, you know, regular movies or what was out during the 80s. I remember me and my brother went to go see a matinee of this, and this was actually billed as a serious movie. But when you watch it now, sober or intoxicated, you're like, how is this billed as a serious fucking movie? Because it's just so ridiculous. And I'm just like watching again. I'm now as an adult. I'm just like, you got to be kidding me. This movie was just so over the top bad. Not even good. Even with the wrestling scenes, they were just so bad. But
yeah, the wrestling scenes, which the wrestling itself was actually pretty good. It was the direction. I think I almost had a seizure twice watching this.
Yeah, I don't know what was up with that. They just used like certain scenes. I guess the lighting. Strobe lighting. And also, since we were watching this online, it was probably taken from the actual VHS, so the quality wasn't all that great. I guess it's not on DVD or Blu-ray, thank God. But yeah, you definitely don't want to like go, like, especially if you have like epilepsy or anything like that, don't watch this movie because you're definitely going to end up in the hospital afterwards. But and also what makes this funny is Diego actually wrote notes because he was, I guess, drunk. I was here with him watching it, and we were both intoxicated, so we don't really fucking remember. So thank you, Diego, for writing notes.
Yeah, because, I mean, the only thing I would have remembered sober was decapitation.
Yeah.
And a dog wearing a mask. Everything else, I'm like, what? That happened?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going through my notes now. I'm going, what? This happened? Okay. So, I mean, one of the first things I wrote was the guy got decapitated using the spot where McFoley lost his
ear in Germany, yeah. Which is, I guess, way before, because this came out, 1984, 85?
Yeah, like 86,
So this is a spot that happened way before McFoley lost his ear in Germany to Vader. But this poor guy lost his head, literally decapitated. And what made it even funnier is that in the beginning of the movie, the match took place in 1979, and it's all in black and white. So I guess just to save money on a budget for blood and stuff like that, to show it in black and white. And yeah, even still, it was just like, the guy lost his head. And me and Diego were actually talking about that. After the whole incident where Mad Dog, the main character, fought the Skull Crusher. Skull Crusher was the one that lost his head. This whole big brouhaha between, like, you know, with the governing body of the wrestling promotion that they were wrestling in, didn't know what to do with the title, because Skull Crusher was the champion. And it's just like, we don't know what to do in light of the situation. It's like, okay, they pretty much vacated the title. It's just like, because he wasn't able to defend it. And I'm like, of course, because he's dead. He's decapitated. You actually see a scene where they're taking out his body in a body bag, and then they also have Skull Crusher's head in a bag. So it's just like, and they're all like, what are we going to do? It's just like, why don't you just give the title to, you know, to Mad Dog. But
how did you feel about seeing a person losing his head?
Shocked.
And now it's been 3 months. How do you feel about it?
Horrified.
And that's how I feel about watching this movie. I'm both shocked and horrified.
That was like the one scene that they were showing. They were like the man on the street interviews with wrestling fans, quote unquote. Yeah. And that's what everybody just kept saying. Shocked. Horrified. Like, madam, how did you feel about the whole incident? Shocked. Sir, what did you feel about it? Horrified. It's just like, we couldn't say anything else. And that was it. It was just, my God.
Quick question, Rich.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Even though they claim to have four screenplay writers.
That's even funnier too. They had four people to write the screenplay, and then one person takes all the credit for the story. It was just I don't know.
My question is: was there really a script, or is the screen was a screenplay or the actual only real part of kayfabe on this movie?
Probably, because watching this, I'm telling you, people, you have to watch this movie. I felt like the half the movie was ad-libbed. Because it was just like, okay, they probably had a premise, and it was just like, okay, go with it. And it was just like, we'll just throw in some wrestling jargon in there, wrestling scenes, and it was just like, everything else is just pretty much ad-libbed.
Yeah, because the scene, I think Dick Murdoch almost killed the Dick Murdoch scene where he was cutting a promo, he almost killed the guy who played the reporter.
Yeah, and I think they must have given like Dick the Bruiser some, you know, nose candy, because he was just a little bit way too out there when they were doing the promo for the match.
Even for Dick Murdoch standards.
Yeah. That's for sure. And then also they added, like, I guess, third-tier wrestlers, because towards the end of the movie, they have a battle royal to determine who's the champion, and it's just pretty much third-tier wrestlers. Like, I mean, they had Danny Spivey, they had Rip Rogers, they had Adrian Street. I forgot. They had the Adrian Street in there for those people.
And the wrestler, I think. Well, I don't think the rest of wrestlers. I think there was, like, stunt actors.
Yeah. And the only person that probably was a legit wrestler other than Dick the Bruiser and Dick Murdoch was Mondo Guerrero of the Guerrero family. So, who actually has credit for choreographing all the wrestling scenes in this film. And I use that term loosely. But, yeah. I definitely recommend you watching this with a few adult beverages and maybe a little bit of Satan's spinach if you get access to that type of stuff, because that's the only way you'll really, really enjoy it. Because if you watch it, you know, straight, you're just going to be like, why did I just waste my time watching this? But, you know, it was the 80s. They just were, I guess, production companies, filmmakers wanted to capitalize on just wrestling itself. So you had some good movies in the 80s of wrestling, and then you had the terrible ones. Unfortunately, Grunt falls under that terrible level of it. Anything else, Diego, with the notes?
Yeah, and I'd like to thank you for making me watch this terrible movie.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
One of my favorite parts was in the opening. Not the opening, but the scene after the credits, where there's like a bootleg Kamala fighting with the mansion. Where's my props? Where's my props? I can't be a killer without it.
He's just so angry. And then Mad Dog had a... Well, also, I guess we can be spoilers for a little bit. Okay. After the infamous match between Skullcrusher and Mad Dog, supposedly Mad Dog is so depressed that he ends up, like, institutionalized, and he commits suicide. So,
hey, there's a guy named Batista in the back.
We're actually watching a little bit in mute, so, because we don't really remember. So, now this comes this whole urban legend, like, is he still alive? Because, like, a couple of weeks after Mad Dog supposedly kills himself, this new wrestler comes on the scene known as The Mask, and the similarities between him and Mad Dog are just really uncanny. Like, they even bring up, like, oh, Mad Dog had a tattoo on his chest, the same one that The Mask has. So this, I guess you would call him a documentary filmmaker / wrestling fan, decides that he's going to do a documentary on where is, you know, is Mad Dog The Mask, and it just goes into a whole crazy another world.
Yeah, I think the funniest written joke of the movie was why he became a wrestling fan, in which one day he heard noise coming out of his parents' bedroom, and, you know, he comes in and he sees his parents, you know, making whoopee, and he's all like, what's going on here? He's like, Dad's like, we're wrestling, get out!
And that's how it starts for, like, most wrestlers. Your parents are doing the nasty, and it's like, I want to be a wrestler. But also what made it funny is that the fact that, the scene where they're actually, the documentary filmmaker, he's like, interviewing people from Mad Dog's past. Like, he interviews his valet, Lola, who I'm convinced in the scene they must have gave her a lot of nose candy, because in the scene you discover that she's a massive wrestling hoarder. She has all of Mad Dog's stuff. She starts throwing it at the documentary filmmaker, and...
If I cut you off, he said hoarder, not whore. Hoarder, all right? Bitch is not sexist. Jerks. Keep your minds out of the gutter.
Sorry about that. So, and then in the next scene, because she gives them, like, reel-to-reels of Mad Dog, like, home movies of her and Mad Dog at home, then it's pretty much the same scene, but she's all nice and calm. And
Before that, sorry to cut you off, the first time they meet her, they invent the frying pan spot.
Oh, yeah!
That Tommy Dreamer used a lot in ECW.
How about that?
So, yeah, that was... See, that's why I wrote notes.
Yeah, and then also the fact that one of the documentary filmmakers, I guess, he was like, I don't know, my mind's, I'm not into it. And it's like, yeah, because maybe you got a fucking concussion from getting a frying pan, like, upside the head. So, in the film, the reel-to-reel that they watch, it's like home movies, and she's so nice and calm and lucid. And she does pretty much the same thing that she did when the guys come into her home, like, throwing stuff, but she's all nice and calm about it. Like, oh, look, these are Mad Dog's trophies. Oh, these are all the things that Mad Dog have. These are paintings that Mad Dog did. But in the previous scene, she's all angry, like, this is Mad Dog stuff. You can fucking take it. I don't care anymore. Blah, blah, blah. And it was just like, what the hell? Another scene that was... I'm trying to... Sorry if I go off tangent here, folks.
Yeah, actually, I'm going through my notes right now. I must have been drunk as fuck because I spelled Dick Murdoch. Dick Morduck. So, yeah, I must have been... Oh, yeah.
More duck.
Yeah, so we get a random glow scene that has background music by Adrian Street. Yeah. Adrian Street has three songs on this.
Three songs on the soundtrack. If this soundtrack exists, I want to find it. Because just for Adrian Street's three songs.
And we have Queen Kong doing, like, squats. And what... She was in Glow.
We just saw one. Ooh.
Yeah, she was in Glow. And what was her character?
Matilda the Hun. If for those fans who remember the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, that was like an all-female wrestling promotion that was super big, and the ladies pretty much didn't know how to wrestle. I guess it must have been like one or two gals that actually knew how to wrestle, but Matilda Hun was like this humongous, like, heel. Sort of, I guess she would be the equivalent of like Big Van Vader in Glow, but she pretty much would just clobber like these poor, like, Playboy playmates, like, or washed up Hawaiian Tropic models that thought they can wrestle. But she's also in this movie too with another gal. But yeah, just this movie just runs the whole spectrum. Yeah, anything else?
You know, I feel like this movie's shitty. Let's cut corners.
That's
like, you know, the weird thing is, like I said, I think the matches are actually good. But then I guess, you know, with Mondo Guerrero doing the choreography, they have to be.
And Mondo is actually in it too. He plays El Toro, billed from Atlanta, Georgia.
And what I'm thinking is, like, I think a lot of WWE creative get their ideas from here, because Mondo plays El Toro, and now we got Puerto Ricans disguised as matadors in WWE. Is that what they're called? The matadors?
Los Matadores.
And, you know, El Torito. Adam Rose acts a whole lot like Adrian Street minus the makeup. I know Adam Rumble is kind of supposed to be a Russell Brand type thing, but he looks like he borrows more from Adrian Street than he does from Russell Brand.
And you forgot to mention that the mask fights he's in a 3-on-1 handicap with these midgets.
4-on-1.
4-on-1, my bad.
They're called the Human Pyramid.
Yeah, and when you first see the Human Pyramid, it's just, you think it's just this one guy. And
yeah, you think it's this one tall dude.
And then all of a sudden, like, he takes off his robe and you see, like, these... It's like four midgets, like, stacked up on top of each other.
Man, that's actually pretty good. Visual humor.
Yeah, and just these are like the most, like, roided up midgets you'll ever see. Well, the exception of one, who's like the smallest one, but these other two were just like super roided up. It was just like creepy beyond words. And yeah, it just also just the documentary filmmaker. He's just really being persistent about the mask is Mad Dog, and even he. He has Mad Dog's, like, number one fan, Mr. Tweed, following him because he knows all this information, this inside information about Mad Dog. He even introduces Mad Dog, or the documentary filmmaker, to Mad Dog's trainer. For some reason, they bleep the hell out of him, but then in the rest of the movie, everybody's, like, cursing. Just this one scene, it's just like, you know, the trainer's like, yeah, and so bleep, and then bleep, but then everybody else in the movie is, like, cursing. I'm just, I don't know. I don't know. My brain is just trying to fathom.
He looked like Uncle Leo from Seinfeld.
Yeah, in a wheelchair. Because for some reason, you know.
Yeah, they did a flashback of Mad Dog wrestling. Some 500-pound guy. And the actor, I don't think he's a wrestler, because he's been in a lot of other movies, like Roadhouse and Stone Cold.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that movie.
I think he was also in Over the Top.
He played Smasher. Yeah.
The first guy that Sylvester Stallone arm wrestles in front of his son.
All right, so Adrian Street's opening spot in the Battle Royale is making out with Dangerous Dan Spivey.
Yeah, or what is he known as?
American Eagle. Because he looks like a giant Native American.
Yeah, with furry boots, a la Bruiser Brody. But because we're watching it right now, the last
match. it's in the background. Yeah.
What else?
So anyway, he monkey flips when in that flashback scene. He monkey flips this 500-pound guy. I'm like, that's impressive for a, you know, like gotta give it up for a Chavo. I mean, for Mondo for training this guy to do that.
You also forgot to mention that all the matches, they were billed in different cities in the U.S., but
they all take place in the same.
Yeah, they're all filmed in the same arena. It's like
it's filmed in the same studio spot, and it was like Hackensack, New Jersey,
Atlanta, Georgia.
Fresno, California.
Fresno, California. And yeah, it's just alone. The description alone, I'm telling you folks, you gotta watch it just for shits and giggles alone. Even if you're not a wrestling fan bad movies.
You can only appreciate this if you're a wrestling fan, Irish. I think if an 18-year-old wrestling fan puts it on, he's like, what the hell am I watching?
This is wrestling in the 80s?
He's like, I'll never listen to this podcast ever again. You guys recommend crap.
We might have lost a few people right now talking about this movie. But that's okay. For those of you that are still here and you're hanging in there, thank you. What else in the notes?
I'm thinking about the one scene in the doctor's office. He's talking about tattoos. Yeah, you notice there's something in the background on the wall.
Oh, yeah, there was in the background of the doctor's office, they had, I guess, stills from Dawn of the Dead.
It's former patients.
Yeah, former patients, and one of them is David Emge, who played Flyboy in Dawn of the Dead. But like, I guess when they were putting the makeup on him, so it looked like still shots of like production still shots that Tom Savini must have had of him applying the makeup on David Emge, and you see it in the background of this doctor's office. It's like, okay, David Emge must have been a patient of this wrestling doctor. But yeah. I don't know. What else in the notes?
I forgot. Did I ask this question? I think I'm already buzzed because I didn't eat yet.
Yeah.
Did you believe there was a script? Yeah, I asked that already.
Yeah, like I said, four people wrote the screenplay and then one person took the credit for, like, writing the actual story.
All right. Spoiler alert. The plot, you know, one of the main focuses that, you know, Skull Crusher loses his head. So for 6 years, the championship committee doesn't know what to do. So after 6 years, they decided he cannot defend the title. So they have a battle royal to determine a new champion. At the end of the movie, they have the battle royal. No champion is determined. And, I don't know, the end.
Oh, because the reason being, can I be more of a spoiler with it?
Look, anyone listens to these kind of podcasts... should know when you watch when you listen to a movie review podcast, there's gonna be spoilers. So I don't want to hear any crying. Oh no, there's a spoiler. Like if we spoil a movie that's not listed, like if I give away the ending of The Sixth Sense, then you kick and scream at me.
No, because.
But if it's labeled Sixth Sense, then I'm gonna tell you that at the end it was.
But no, let's just say that Mad Dog returns and has a great run-in at the very end of the Battle Royal, and also Diego pointed out that. Mad Dog looks a lot like Magnum T.A.
because
he comes wearing like this like how Magnum T.A. would come in with the just wearing jeans and cowboy boots and a vest.
You know, Scott Hall used to look like Magnum T.A.
Yeah.
When he first came out.
That was big Scott Hall in the AWA and then Gator. But I guess that'll be another podcast for another time.
Whatever.
But yeah, it's a great run in and a motorcycle too. I'll add in there and then he comes in, he defeats the mask. He actually unveils what the mask looks like, like I said, I won't spoil it too much because you're just going to have to watch this and just be like, oh, God.
The mask of the mask looked really good. You know, all the times he didn't wear a Gene Simmons one.
Yeah, there's one...
You sure that's Gene Simmons?
I'm definitely sure. If you see the design of the mask, there's... Especially towards the end of the match, he has the same design that Gene Simmons uses, the face paint, as the demon. So... But then there's one scene where he doesn't have that same mask. Like, he actually had a cool looking mask, very Troma-esque. And also, oh, I also forgot to mention, I guess for those who remember the 80s, Wally George, who's actually in this, Wally George, who hosted the TV show called The Hot Seat back in the 80s, he's in there, and he plays himself, and it's actually done on the set of The Hot Seat, sorry about that.
Okay, I've never heard of Wally George. I thought he was fake, but Rich told me he's a real guy.
But Wally George, for those who are who didn't grow up in the 80s.
Tell people who Wally George is.
Wally George was, I'm going to date myself here. Wally George was, I guess before Jerry Springer, he had like Shock TV before Springer did. He actually was out before Morton Downey Jr.
Or Richard Bay.
But his is more political driven.
Or we'll even go like Glenn Beck, because he's supposed to be a Mr. Conservative.
Yeah, and that's what pretty much Wally George was as well. He was very
like a hybrid of Jerry Springer and Glenn Beck.
Yeah, a very Republican conservative, but just for shock value, he would have on these crazy guests and just pretty much demean them, saying you're not a part of the American way. And he does the same thing. He has the mask on with his valet, which I forgot, the
Lola.
Lola was Mad Dog's valet.
Oh, really?
The mask had another
some French chick.
A gal that was doing a really bad French accent.
And at one point,
and also with a poodle that had a mask on that looked like Gene Simmons.
That's the only part of the movie I really liked, is the dog with a mask. There's a dog with a mask, and I'm like, all right, you won me over for a little bit.
Yeah. This is true, and right now we're watching towards the end where it's four guys left.
I like the scene with Chavo. Or I keep saying Chavo. Armando Guerrero, he fought like as El Torito, and I just kept thinking like, damn, God, the WWE sucks right now.
No, but actually with Mondo, he did a lot of like moves that just were. I guess it's maybe Jack Black must have watched this, because a lot of the stuff that he did in Nacho Libre was just pretty much what El Toro did.
You know, I gotta tell you something.
Yeah.
I've never seen Nacho Libre.
You've never seen Nacho Libre?
I've never seen Nacho Libre.
Okay, this is a shocker, folks. Diego, a huge wrestling fan. I know it spoofs Lucha Libre, but it's still wrestling, and you've never seen that.
That might be a movie that we're going to review in a couple of months.
But that's actually a better movie compared to Grunt.
I can imagine. Yeah. Seen I don't know, like, I like Jack Black, kind of. He kind of annoys me.
He has his moments. But with Nacho Libre, I think he was good. And also the fact that when we were watching the credits to find out how many songs Adrian Street did for the soundtrack, we discovered that the Cauliflower... the club. Like, what was the name of the group? I'm sorry.
Cauliflower Club.
The Cauliflower Club, which is a group of old-time wrestlers that are very revered in the wrestling community. They actually signed off on this, which is just a shocker. Because these guys are so a part of tradition and stuff like that, and this movie is just so terrible.
Offensive towards the tradition.
Yeah. So I don't know. Well, because they had John Tolles in there, the Golden Greek, so...
Oh, yeah. Tell the people who John Tolles is.
Okay, John Tolles was a wrestler from, like, in the 70s. He had a few decent matches with Bruno Sammartino, and then he just went from being a wrestler to a manager. He managed in the old WCCW, Mid-South Wrestling, and he was also the manager of Kurt Hennig when he was doing the whole Mr. Perfect thing. He was the coach, if for any of you guys that remember when Kurt Hennig had a manager after Bobby Heenan or before.
Yeah, he was in WWE for like a hiccup.
Yeah.
But he was
quick second.
Yeah, he was Mr. Perfect's coach, and I don't like
that. And he did the whistle thing way before Bill Alfonso did it. So when he would just come into the ring just blowing that whistle like Alfonso did. Yeah. And we're actually watching right now towards the end where Mad Dog does his run-in on a motorcycle into the ring, and everybody's all shocked, like, Mad Dog's alive!
And little Mitzi. For some reason, another thing I remember from the movie, I don't even remember what part it is, but when, like, I guess I was falling asleep, and I just remember an announcer yelling, not little Mitzi. I'm going to have to rewind that part and listen to it again.
Yeah.
Okay, a seizure. So I think... Only a few more things I can remember was there's a toy on the desk, and who did the toy look like?
It looked like a blonde Andre the Giant action figure. For those people that remember the old WWF action figures, the big bulky plastic ones that were made of hard rubber, actually. They had one on the GWA, the announcer, he's telling him about the matches, and you just see this Andre the Giant figure just with blonde hair.
So he was Blondre the Giant.
Yeah. That's a great name. Like, they just took the LJN freaking figure and LJM figure and just painted it blonde. Just put it there. So,
My, all right, so I'm gonna wrap up with my favorite Adrian Street song on this was something about big girls. I have to fast forward it, but when Attila the Hun was wrestling,
yeah.
Hey, Quebec, but just before she was Attila, she was Queen Kong at this time.
Yeah,
it was a song about Matilda the Hun. Yeah, but before Glow, she was Queen Kong.
Yeah,
that was her. So yeah, it was a song called something like "Big Girls Make the World Go Round" or something, which sounds like my favorite Queen song,
yeah.
Which is "Fat Bottom Girls." So if I was ever a wrestler, my theme song would be "Fat Bottom Girls" or Pink Floyd's "Young Lust." I haven't decided yet.
I'd go with "Fat Bottom Girls."
What "Fat Bottom"? You choose Queen over Adrian Street?
Definitely. Shit. Beyond words. But even though he did have the one song in the beginning of the movie, and they also play at the end where he's just like name-tossing people that weren't even in the movie. Like, he mentions Jake the Snake Roberts. He mentions Andre the Giant. I'm like, those guys weren't in the movie.
Yeah, because he name-dropped a lot of people. Maybe they thought they were going to be in the movie.
Oh, God.
And maybe the last minute they backed out. Maybe Andre's like, this script makes no sense. And he's like, I'm not dropping. Maybe the Human Pyramid was supposed to be Andre the Giant.
Yeah, probably.
He's like, I'm not dropping to this guy.
Or they didn't have enough booze to pay off Andre. He's like, oh, no, I'm not going to do this, you know. But yeah, it's funny that the whole song is just name-dropping people. And it's just like, two of the guys that you mentioned who are great wrestlers aren't even in this. Maybe they knew. They had hindsight. It's like, I'm not being in this movie. So.
So, yeah. So I think we're going to wrap up. Any final thoughts, Rich?
Like I said, if you're really bored one night and if you have access to a lot of adult beverages, go check it out. It's on YouTube, you know.
Yeah, it's on YouTube free. Look, if you have friends, which, you know, not many wrestling fans do.
Yeah.
No, I'm scared. No, just like how you isolated the Japanese crowd, I just isolated all our crowd on this one. But not seriously, if you have friends, you know, guys, if you're of age, get some beers and watch this movie. Like, if you know, if you grew up in the 80s or 90s, yeah, give it a shot. If you're a millennial, don't bother. No, don't bother.
Millennials will just... They'll be like, ooh, it's so retro 80s. And
yeah, if you're a hipster, you'll like this too.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking hipsters. All right. So let's end this podcast on that note. On the next month's show, I don't know who the guest is going to be, but we're going to be watching the Jesse the Body movie that was made for TNT. I forgot what it was called, but the movie about Jesse the Body Ventura. For some reason, he wrestles Chris Canyon and Goldberg.
Yeah, what was up with that?
Yeah, so that's the movie we're going to review. It'll be free on YouTube. I'll put the link up. If you haven't checked out last month's episode, President Clinton and I, we reviewed tag team with, we're doing two Jesse the Bodies already, but we're doing Jesse the Body with Roddy Piper and Jesse the Body Ventura. So guys, thank you for listening to us. I don't know if you're supposed to rate us on iTunes. I don't even know if we're on iTunes. Like, everything's on this RSS feed, which I know nothing about. But yeah, just, you know, if you like us, retweet our tweets, reshare our Facebooks, tell your friends, you know. Have a good time. Thank you. Thank you very much. Insert catchphrase here.
Thanks for having me, Diego.
Oh, yeah, Rich. Thank you, Rich. Holy shit. That's mighty rude of me. It's like I just, like, locked him out of my mind. Like, I'm here.
Most people
I got the mic. There is no Rich. I am Rich. Like, I'm doing, like, it's like a fight.
You don't want to be me. Trust me.
It's like a Fight Club thing where I just invented my own guest.
No, thank you for having me, man.
All right. And insert catchphrase here. Oops, wrong button. Hold on 1 second. All right, yeah, I did have a lot too much. All right, there it is.